Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I guess there is no opening music this week, so let's just get into it. Wes, we've had a good summer. We have tonight with us, we have the one and the only, the greatest Doc Sludge there ever was, Doc Sludge himself.
Yeah, I'm not that great, but I'm here. Good to see everybody.
Good to see you.
Then we have the owner of the Haunted Barn, Joey Vento.
Good to be here. Good to be here.
So last night, he at the Haunted Barn had a showing of the Blob, and why was that?
The screening went great. It turned into it was originally supposed to be a family-style showing, which means, because there was plenty of food, so everybody would basically just, mill about and talk, because we didn't want Judy to kind of think about it too much. You know, she was she's still processing this. So it ended up, we turned the lights off, Judy was good with it, and it was great. We watched it from beginning to end, and there were a lot of people there that didn't see it, never saw it, and it went well. It was great.
Very good.
Yeah. Most of us met Wes at Monster Bash or at the Blob Fest. We all loved him to death. And we're here tonight to talk about the thing that he pretty much loved the most, and that is the Blob itself.
This is us
doing a live watch for Wes and his wife and his family.
Right. Great. Thank you. Thank you guys for doing this, because it's nice just to hang with you guys and talk about it.
Yeah, it's a blast of a movie. And it's so cool. And I've always, ever since I was a kid, I saw it on TV. And I watched it with my mom, of course. I've always wondered, how can you do that? And it's just, and actually seeing the Blob in real life, you go, oh, that's awesome. And it's such a good little flick.
It is. It's a perfect little monster movie. It was shot sort of at the time Rebel Without a Cause had come out, and the Marlon Brando films. So it's sort of like Rebel Without a Cause, but with a monster in it. It's very, it almost looks like Rebel Without a Cause. It's got some of the same kids. The kids against the law, and that's what we were talking about, all this bickering in the film with the cops and, wild teenagers, and the Blob almost becomes a background story to this. So it's very interesting.
Yeah. And with that, we got our DVD set 6 seconds in, right when the Paramount logo is fading in. And we're going to start it, give him time, get it set up, pause the commentary, and then come back when you got the movie set up. Okay, and since you're pretty much ready for it, are you guys ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay, let's start this in 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Yeah,
any of you guys know if this was just a pickup by Paramount, or was it something they picked up for their TV packages?
I think it was distributed by Paramount, and that's it. Because it was filmed produced by Jack Harris, And it was, but basically it was a local film, handmade film, done by a company called Valley Forge Productions, who did religious movies.
Very cool. Yeah. A little tidbit of trivia. I used to have this theme song as my cell phone ring for about a good 3 years. And it's a cute little, I mean, it's a song, I think they have it like in a 45 for a while too, or the smaller jukebox records. It's just, it's fun.
And how did they get someone like Burt Bacharach to write the song for a B-movie, or afford someone, a songwriter of his caliber?
Well, he wasn't a big star back then. He was just starting out, basically. So, yeah, they got him to do that.
Very cool.
And I love that little spaghetti line thing. Oh, yeah, every good 50s monster movie's got to start out with a couple kissing.
Yeah, and later on I'll tell you, there's an interesting story about that. I'll tell you a little later on. But there's all sorts of stories about the making of the blob, because it was such a locally made film.
Yeah. And this was Steve McQueen's first really big role, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, he was 27 years old when he made this, and it was one of his first films.
Yeah, it's one of those movies that has the. People in their late 20s, early 30s playing teenagers. It works.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
That's one of the things we talked about last night was a lot of the kids you see, they weren't teenagers at all. Not teenagers like we know today. There's the meteor. There's the cell that Wes has at home. He has the background cell to that when the meteor comes down.
And here is one of the great, better character actors from the 50s, Elisha Cook Jr. Stephen King has said he based Jordy Verrill in Creepshow, the Lonesome Death of Jordy Verrill, on Elisha Cook Jr.'s character in The Blob.
Yeah, a girl brought that up last night. She thought, was Creepshow, the Jordy Verrill episode, was that inspired by this? And I'm pretty sure this little sequence it was.
And this is rare for a 50s movie where they don't have a 10-minute movie stop where they explain what the heck the blob is.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's very little. Yeah, you're right. There's no, explanation or, what's that word I'm looking for? Basically, exposition.
That's true. And as you can see, the blob is totally clear right now. And as the production went on, they dyed it red, every time he had himself a meal. But right now it's very clear. And that's the same actor that was in Them, that was in the mental hospital. And he died, I believe, not long after the blob, maybe a couple of months later. This was his last film.
Oh, The Great Silicone Blob.
Now, this is where, you know, the whole don't poke it with a stick comes from, kid. Remember, you see something creepy, don't poke it with a stick, leave it alone, go home.
Yeah, exactly. And don't hold it so close to you.
40 football time.
It's been asking for a 50s horror film.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. And there's a lot of deleted scenes, too. There's a lot of things they tried and that were considered horrifying, and they took them out.
What I heard is where the guy is supposedly supposed to chop his hand off of an axe, but the glob grew up and it jumped on the stump.
Wow.
And there was that one scene that I remember when we watched it, when we did a live, like that group watch that you were telling us about, was the blob actually eating the doctor in the window? But that was actually a deleted scene.
Yep.
And you can find the still of it here and there.
Yeah, that's right. Wes has a still of that. In fact, I posted a still of that too for on Facebook. Yeah, he's covered. He's covered completely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's a scene. They cut out a whole bunch of little scenes. There's a scene with the blob. They used a balloon to portray the blob at one point.
And this is another rarity in the JD years, is showing the teenagers just nice kids. Is it a doctor or is it Superman? I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like it. It does look like Superman, Clark Kent.
Oh, and he has a telephone booth.
Yeah, this was filmed locally. This was filmed all over Phoenixville, and in the studio. When they see the old man's shack, that's in the studio.
E. Hallen. Run, Doc, run! It might save your life. Crap.
Oh, no. What do you guys want? We're home.
This was in the days before hospitals, people.
Oh, yeah. You took them to the doctor's house. Yeah. They made house calls, too.
One of the nastier lines they cut out of this bit right here is the doctor says something in a deleted scene like, it smells like burnt steak in here.
Oh, excuse me, sorry about that, guys.
This scene pretty much almost beat for beat in the remake of The Blob.
Right.
Yeah, the remake was really a gory film, but actually the special effects were really, really good though.
Yeah. Yeah, they had a whole new, they updated it a little bit and did more very gory effects.
Well, from what you just said, they probably had a hard time filming this one and not have it look nasty from the violence.
Yeah.
I love the colors in this film. They're just, it's so gorgeous and like cast out.
Yeah, it's that beautiful color. Yeah.
And this is what happens when you have a film that's been taken care of by the people that made it.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Good Lord. This may be the dumbest thing that Steve McQueen's character does in the movie.
What's that? What scene are you up to?
I'm at where they're out to three guys in the drag race.
Oh, yeah. That is funny.
I want that hat.
I'd wear that as a hat. I mean, I love weird hats, so. That would be the Ed Wood special right there. Object, flying saucer hat. Yes, please and thank you.
Yeah, also, if you notice, it's a very quiet movie in the beginning. You feel like you're in the Midwest, and you know the cop is pulling you along the side of a very lonely stretch of road. It's very, very quiet.
How did Steve McQueen get a... get cast in this?
I'm not sure. I think he had an agent that got him this role. And, you know, he always said he regretted it. But, again, it kind of put him on the map.
But you gotta remember, there was a big, big re-release once Steve McQueen became a star.
Yeah, there was.
But that was like standard fare back then for any of the big stars.
Yeah.
Isn't it ironic, by screwing up, he actually does the job he's supposed to. But yeah, this one was always a big hit in the drive-ins.
Oh yeah, tremendous hit. And what's funny is, you can imagine how 1950s audiences looking at this movie in a theater, like the Colonial Theater, like at the ending, probably had a lot of fun with it. You know, word got around, oh, you know, this the blob comes through the projection booth. So I bet a lot of people had a lot of fun with this, a lot of 1950s, late 1950s, early 1960s teenagers, or, you know, moviegoers.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you?
Well, during
the
midnight movie craze of the 70s? this was a big hit in its hometown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it was.
What were you going to say, Doc?
Now, what if you... I would love to have seen The Blob at the theater, you know, where the whole theater scene happened. That would have been, don't they do that every year at the Blob Fest?
Yeah, I think so, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've got to go to that.
Usually it was Wes and Mr. Lobo hosting it.
Yeah, I think Mr. Lobo is hosting all of that. Hosting a lot of it now, like most of it.
Yeah, I mean, Bob Blobfest really has become its own big giant event.
Yeah.
How did Wes get possession of the blob?
Well, Judy told us towards the end, she did a little talk for us. And Wes had visited the set after the movie was done. He wanted to see where it was all done. He knew it was local. So Wes lived in near Philly. So he went down to Revere, Phoenixville, that area, and he met with the director. And the director said to him, took him on a tour, Shorty Hayward, Chris Hayward's dad, took him on a tour, and said to him, you know, in that can over there is the actual blob we used. And he says, no. He says, yeah, it's the actual blob is in that can. And Wes said, could I see it? And he showed it to him. And then he asked, you know, if he could buy it. And they said, well, not right now, you know. And what happened is Wes kept trying back and forth. He kept coming back and asking them over and over and over. And they finally sold it to him. And I believe he got it in 1966.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
that the blob hasn't shrunk that much in its years.
No, that's funny because that's exactly the first question that someone asked after Judy told the story. Has it shrunk or has it changed color? And not really. Shorty Yeworth took a little bit of the blob out of there for himself. He put it in a mason jar. And his son has that today. Chris, that's what Chris brings to Monster Bash. He brings the bit of the blob that he had taken, his dad had taken. And then Wes got the rest of it. But it hasn't shrunk. It's still the same color. And
yeah. You know what else scares me? In the 70s, millions of women took this plastic goop that would not shrink and becomes hard as a rock and said, okay, I want to put it in my chest.
Yeah, silicone. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, same material. Except I got to touch the blob. The first time I met Wes, he let me touch it. And I put my finger in it. I pulled it out right away. It was very sticky. A couple of years later, they had an entertainment lawyer that told them that you really shouldn't let people touch it. We don't know what this material is actually made out of. It was they got it from Union Carbide, which is a company that produces solvents and silicone and all sorts of chemicals. And they didn't think it was a good idea for any of the public to touch it. That's why West, in later years, didn't let anybody touch it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And what's funny
is... pretty creepy.
Go ahead.
I was just saying that itself is really creepy.
Yeah.
This is a blob. We don't know exactly what it is. Oh, wow. Okay. it's awesome but creepy.
Yeah. And here's the nurse. Are you guys up to the par with the nurse?
I'm at just the butt end of them in the woods.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the nurse, the doctor.
Whether they're going to heal my health, but there's no shape, there's no form to it, there's nothing to reason with.
That's true.
A blob.
Right. That's what makes it so interesting is.
There's a character in a movie that was saved because of script rewrites. In the first draft, they killed the dog.
Yeah, they did. Okay. Yeah.
Then it was like, no, we can't kill a dog even in a horror film.
No. The dog's name, by the way, is Pepsi. Judy told us the dog's name.
And also I find it funny that they were challenging him to a race 1 second, and the next second, hey, let's go out in the middle of the woods and look for this weird rock, which I don't know what in the hell it might be. And they go, okay.
Once again, another reason why not to poke stuff with a stick or touch random weird things.
Here we are. I'm at the nurse scene now.
Yeah, I'm at two doctors just washing his hands.
Yeah. Even for a no-budget 50s horror film, this is better acting than you would expect from a...
Yeah. It's
a drive-in programmer.
Yeah, a lot better than some of the drive-in films that were coming out at the time, like Attack of the Killer Shrews and it's really
better. Didn't when the Bob was scooted across the floor, didn't they just nail the table to the floor?
Yeah, it was.
It up, so it looks like the plot is moving.
They did it and filmed it. They filmed it frame by frame on a lot of shots, which I didn't know because I thought it was just gravity that was making it move. But some shots are actually done frame by frame. Other shots are where you see it like liquid, so that's where it's being kind of tilted. They can tilt it upside down, and they filmed it against photographic backgrounds. You know, the freezer floor, the stairs, the Colonial Theater, those are all photos.
Nice.
Yeah, and they filmed it against the photos. And Wes has all those photos. He has all the background elements, which is really nice.
And why is Judy sort of embarrassed as son of the Blob when there's Blobbermouth in the world? See, they're big Blob fans, and even they don't admit that Blobbermouth exists.
What is a Blobbermouth?
Yeah.
Oh, imagine a movie where they, you remember the old Clutch Cargo animated stuff? They put a giant pair of lips on the Blob, and the movie's plot is the Blob is a singer, and Steve McQueen's character is his rival singer. And they dub over a bunch of horrible jokes in the movie. It's as horrid as you would think it is. And it's got Jay Leno doing the Blob's voice.
Oh. Okay. Oh, excuse me. Sorry about that, everybody.
If I was that girl, I'd stay with the dog. That's one way to make sure you don't get killed in a horror film. I love how he's acting. He's freaking out there. Who would usually see, you know, the lead guy is a tough guy. And the fact that he's a teenage rebel who likes to drag race, and his first thought is, let's go to the cops.
Right, right. Well, he's growing up, you know. He's a teenage rebel that has a moral code.
Yeah.
You know, in reality, he didn't want to. He didn't get along with the cast very well.
No, I've heard stories that McQueen was just grouchy the whole time he was there.
Yeah.
I would never understand actors being ashamed of their early roles and things like that. If it wasn't for the Blob, how would Steve McQueen really gotten his start?
Right, right. Exactly. Sometimes you have to take a chance, and they took a chance, you know, and he became a star because of it.
And I'm surprised there only was one sequel to this. Usually with a movie made as much money as the Blob did back then, they would put out some half-budded sequel as quick as they could.
Yeah, they didn't get around to it until we ran the Blob.
Yeah. How did you guys first see this? Me, it was the weekly day movie on Channel 6.
I'm thinking it was definitely on cable TV, and I watched it with my mom when I was younger, and I don't remember much of it besides that right there.
Yep.
Yeah, I saw it on the late movie at night. They would play it on Channel 9. But we had a black and white television, so I didn't really know it was in color. It's so much later.
Well, mine showed it on, they called it Weird Monster Week, and it was like five movies. It was Giant Ant, The Beginning of the End, Giant Grasshoppers.
Yeah.
Food of the Gods, The Blob, and The Creeping Unknown.
Right, right. We had something similar. We had the 4:30 movie in New York, and they would do Monster Week, they would do Elvis Week, they would do James Bond Week. So, that's how we got to see a lot of them. Very, very cut up, of course.
Here's a question I got. How the hell did the Blob lock the door? Oh.
Yeah.
And isn't it nice the Blob didn't remember to turn the lights out, clean up the floor?
Yeah, just doing his own thing.
It's a polite monster. Wouldn't you say, Doc?
Yeah. Very polite.
I mean, of all the monsters, this would probably be the one I would think that would leave the most mess there after it kills.
Right.
Told me that. I don't know why the hell he told me that, but hey. Watch. The good old creature features like this on the live TV, and we had big old school monster fans like Wes. He may be one of the biggest fans that I've ever met, next to Joey and a couple more.
Yeah, he was something. He was something. I remember first going to his house, and I didn't know. I thought, maybe he had a couple of items. I didn't realize the extent of his collection went way past the Blob, because he had costumes down there from The Wizard of Oz, Forbidden Planet.
Oh, wow.
He was a big Forbidden Planet fan. In fact, when we first got invited over to their house, they had us over for a Forbidden Planet party. And there was all sorts of guys there that I had read about. They were all friends of us, like George Stover, who used to write for Castle of Frankenstein, and Bill Malone, who ended up owning Robbie the Robot. But he had so many items in his little museum.
Very cool.
Yeah.
It's sad that I hope the God there's not, I hope there's God there's people out there that's gonna take up the mantle when we get too old.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You want that robe for Christmas, Doc?
I'm sorry? I didn't hear your question, Steve.
You want that robe?
Oh, no. No. I don't do that.
Oh, come on. You look good in
not
a red spots and all that.
Well, you know, hey, as long as it's not like a itsy bitsy teeny weeny polka dot bikini, I'm okay.
Yeah, when I first met Wes was at Monster Bash. It was, I was around 07, my first year I went.
Yeah, that's when I met him, too. Unfortunately, I lost the camera files that had pictures of the blob and everything in the can. So, kind of a bummer, but, you know, I was very cool to meet him, and I got a couple of the blob keychains from him.
Yeah. When I, I just called him on the phone. I got his book. He's got a great book that you should get called From Silicone to the Silver Screen, the Blob, Memories of the Blob, which Judy didn't bring any with her, but she's selling it in case you guys are interested.
Definitely.
But Wes's phone number, believe it or not, was in the back of the book. And I called him up because I was planning a screening of the blog, and I said to him, you know, I explained what we were doing, and he called, he made plans to call, and he called us for our first blog show, and, you know, explained to all the kids what it was all about. And what I find funny is the first time the very first time I talked to Judy, Judy answered the phone, and I said, "Is Wes there? I'd like to speak to the owner of the blob." And Judy said, "Wes doesn't own the blob. We don't own the blob. We are caretakers of the blob material with silicone, and by rights we can't own the blob because I guess it's considered a character. So they have to tell people they're the caretakers of the actual material." The blob silicone, not the blob. The blob is a registered trademark.
Yeah, I can remember Nickelodeon when they put out their slime. They were going to put out a Nickelodeon blob toy, but...
Yeah. Yeah, they're not allowed to say blob. They call it slime now.
Yeah, here comes the chaos part. Everybody's starting to get loud and yell at each other.
Yeah.
I love the fake gray hair. That's fun. That's funny. He looks like the kind of father that would beat the crap out of his son once he got him home.
You're going to get quite the spanking. Oh, dear.
Bobism. If you have the Criterion right now, you can see over, I want you to confirm for me, Doc, over Steve McQueen's left shoulder, cigarette smoke.
Yeah, we noticed that. We noticed that last night. Yeah, he's smoking a cigarette as he's doing that scene.
Yeah, and he didn't want to put out a cigarette to do the scene. That's how much respect he had for the role.
Yeah. I have never seen that before. I never noticed the smoke. So.
Well, Doc can see it, can't you?
Yes, I can. Just very slightly. Until you see
right.
him with his hands in his pocket.
The director said him and McQueen got into an argument over that. And that's something you wouldn't even see nowadays, is that the police trust the people who comes up to them with a crazy story.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're not automatic to dismiss the kids and what they have to say.
On them kids. They need to be taken out back behind the jail, have them beaten with a nightstick.
When it started, but you know, the people of that town have always, you know, the town has been very famous for that for many years. So I don't know who exactly started it.
Special screening of the Blob with, this is the coolest part, when the scene of the Blob invading the theater.
Yeah.
Everyone would run out of the theater screaming.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's what started. I think it was a small event. I think what Judy had told me is that it was, it started out as a parade. It was like a little parade. Because the Blob, they had actually put Wes and Judy put the Blob in the parade. They wanted the Blob as the master of ceremonies, you know, the Grand Marshal, rather. So they actually put the Blob, the can of the Blob, in a car and tied a ribbon around it. And the Blob was the Grand Marshal for 1 year.
Nice.
Yeah, they put it in a little suit. And but that's how it started. It started as a little parade. And it got bigger and bigger. Then there's a car show. It's also like a very big car show that weekend.
Yeah, it's a big two-day event now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very big thing. We have to make it down there 1 year.
See, the problem with you is that it's usually close to Monster Bash.
Yep.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It certainly is. That's the problem. We can only make really one trip. Although that's a bit closer for us, so who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe 1 year we'll go down.
That's pretty much how all of us tonight met each other was at Monster Bash.
Exactly.
Josh met
right.
Joey, and that's how I met Joey, and then Josh met Doc Sludge.
So that's how we met. We met Doc. I think two or three months to Bashes ago. That's how we got to meet Doc.
Yep.
And
that's
and as you know, Doc
sure.
went up to Niagara Falls with us, met us up there. That was a great little couple of hours, right?
Oh, that was so much fun with you guys.
That was a fun, it was fun just having, I still can't believe, I said, yeah, we were in Niagara Falls, you know, with Eric up there, and it was a nice time we had for everybody.
You stayed away from the Susquehanna Hat Company, I hope.
Yeah, we did. We'll go there. The other thing that we touched upon yesterday, although Judy didn't really want to talk about it, is Steve McQueen didn't like his co-star. He didn't like the girl too much, so they kind of stayed away from each other. And the reason being that, according to Chris Yeworth, who told us the story. The girl didn't really have that great hygiene, so to speak. And and Steve McQueen didn't enjoy kissing her or being close to her. So, yeah, Anita Corsett, it goes down in Blob history as being, unsavory, so to speak.
Well, in the real universe, an interview, she didn't like him much either. So whenever she knew she had a kissing scene with her, she
mm-hmm.
would make sure to eat liver and onions and chew on a piece of garlic before the scenes.
Yeah.
Sadly, I haven't heard many good stories about the way he acted on the set, but...
Yeah, well, you know, he was up and coming, and he was old. I guess he was a bit older than some of the other people portraying teenagers. But, he went on to so many things. He went on to bigger and better things. And he died tragically. He died very young, you know.
Of cancer, not a car crash.
No. He died. And I remember when he died, too, because was trying to find some sort of a of a cure down in Mexico using the pit of a fruit of an apricot that supposedly had properties that he was trying out, but it didn't work.
Yeah, and that is the colonials still open today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they show movies, they do concerts.
And the movie that they're showing is a very, very, very weird little film called Daughter of Darkness, and it's the only film directed by Bruno de Soto.
Right. It's a film that has basically no dialogue in it.
Yeah, everything in it is narration. It's about a woman who we don't know who the hell she is. All he knows is she's called as a gayman. And she goes through a night where she ends up killing Bruno de Soto, and it's just one of those you have to watch it to believe it.
Yeah, and the narrator is Ed McMahon.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Hey, look, there's Robbie the Robot.
Yeah, the robot and the vampire. Vampire and the robot.
Yeah. I think doors today. They haven't replaced them.
The Wes has one. Wes has one door at the entrance to his museum basement. So when you go to Wes's house, you enter through the blob doors, the very door that Steve McQueen had his hand on. And he only got one. The rest of them, I don't know if anyone else got them, but they renovated that whole place.
Yeah. I just think it's cool that we still have the old movie palaces still left. The only real way to watch a movie in my book, not these little cramped cinerama theaters.
I agree.
I mean, is there only really three cops in this entire town? It seems so.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, it does seem like it. And a couple of firemen. That's really all you need in a small town like that. And one Greek diner owner, which was very early for that time. Now, as we know, the Greeks love to own diners, and they own a lot of the old-fashioned diners. But this was the very first time you saw either a Greek or an Italian running a diner, and
I love it. All of the teenagers are out partying, getting stoned and drunk. The second, hey, we need your help. There's a monster in this town. They go, okay, let's go kick some ass.
Yeah.
The guy in the red shirt better be glad he's not on Star Trek, right, Doc?
Yeah. Yep.
And didn't they use the same some of the same wood in the Blob remake?
I'm not sure. I don't think so, because it was shot. You mean Beware the Blob?
We were just looking for a monster. Yeah, beat it, buddy. I see monsters in here all the time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the dog's just waiting to get something to eat, and he's like, "Hey, man." He's like, "Hey, man, give me some dog food. Come on." I think the theater is the only set to use it at, only place in that town left, right?
Yeah, the diner.
Movie.
The diner is still there, but it's all redone. It's all renovated. It looks like a modern-day diner. They're still in the same place. The supermarket is still there, although updated. Yeah, the corner where everybody, where all the kids are running, when you see them running around the corner, that's still there. You know. But you can go down to Phoenixville and do the entire blob tour.
That's a lot of bull behind me.
Ooh.
Oh, jeez. I don't remember, does the puppy get blobbed, or is that inconclusive?
It filmed, it was in the script, but it wasn't filmed. If they had filmed half of the stuff they had in the script, this would have been a nasty little movie. And probably unreleasable for its time.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Closest that we came to a gory blob movie would be The Flesh Eaters.
Yeah.
Here's the big scene. As soon as the light gets in there, honestly, I give the blob a hint. He needs to land in Jamaica sometime or South America.
Yeah.
So cool. I know it's just the scene filmed in in reverse, but still, it's so cool just watching that blob just suck right out from underneath the door.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so colorful. And, you know, it's just very iconic. You know. Yeah, this is where the movie starts to take a turn different. It turns into more of a serious film, becomes very serious, and then at the end, it turns back into a science fiction film. You know, the whole middle part of the film is like Rebel Without a Cause. Now it's turning into a little darker. So, yeah, they knew what they were doing when they filmed this. Shorty Yeaworth filmed the 4D Man and Dinosaurus.
grab the fire extinguisher, son. Yeah, I love how this movie doesn't use sound.
Yeah.
You just hear the...
Yeah.
And that's the scene they used to cover up the missing Blob Dog scene.
Yep, gotcha.
Because no matter what, even today, there's only really two strict rules for movies. You can't kill kids and you can't kill dogs.
Yeah.
And the cat will scare the crap out of you no matter where you are.
Right.
I think there's a typo on that wanted poster.
Haunted, yeah.
And what movie's character was based on this grumpy old bastard? Do you know Doc?
I don't know. Maybe Doc knows.
Would that be Barney Fife? Barney Fife, maybe?
No, Officer Mooney from Killer Clowns from Outer Space. See?
Right.
Oh, there's the W. It came back.
My God, they even used the whole speech. Don't take trying to break me down. That's what they're doing. You can't break down old Moody.
See, now the film takes on like an apocalyptic kind of tone. This is a film of many, many, many shades, you know. That's why it's such a great film. It doesn't, like you said before, it's not your typical drive-in movie.
There's my Halloween costume.
Old man in pajamas?
I was in an air raid helmet.
Huh.
This part right here in the remake is when it really started to get a nasty turn to it.
Yeah. Now this guy, the little boy, is, hold on. Yeah, the little boy was at Blobfest, and he's 68 years old today.
Oh, wow.
Oh, happy birthday to him.
Little Danny. Yeah, he was, Judy said they found him, and he came to one of the Blobfests.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is very like apocalypse type stuff right now.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's almost
with
like
sirens going on.
Right.
Oh, here comes a grouchy old fart.
The three police officers in the whole town are on their way here, right now.
And you know how hard it is to get out of any kind of shopping center or parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine in the 1950s with all those giant cars.
Man, that's like a land barge right there.
I just think of the white 50s, how scary it would be seeing a white man in a fully white suit.
Oh dear.
Yep.
Oh.
That's true. Yeah, I like Landlord.
Another fabulous. I love how the blob just goes through stuff. Oh, I love that. Sorry, I'm geeking out.
If you know the movie, you'll recognize that he's going to change the reel maybe a minute before the movie actually ends. Where everyone runs out of the theater.
Yeah, this is a big run out. When it was free, the run out. You didn't have to put your name on a waiting list.
God, I love that. So awesome. Right through.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Isn't that great?
I knew the sound effects weren't needed, but I love it.
There's nobody in here but us monsters. And this shot here was used in every trailer that I've ever seen for this.
Right.
They almost killed that poor little girl. Oh, look, there are people getting knocked down.
Yeah, they're all getting knocked down. We all noticed that last night. Because even Judy didn't notice how many people were actually getting knocked over.
And a lot of people have smiles on their face.
Yeah, and you get it. I was just going to say that. A lot of people have smiles. A lot of people are waving their arms.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they do the same thing today. It's the very same reaction to doing that.
Daughter of horror. Bang, bang.
Daughter of horror with Ed McMahon as the narrator.
That's bad. He just says, screw this. I'm going to throw the gun at him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that is a brave little kid right there.
Yeah, that's little Danny.
I toss gun. Bye-bye.
The movie really becomes dark because they're preparing the little boy to, to fall asleep. Yeah, the movie's sad at the end. I mean, it actually is sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know why? Because they're trapped. It's one of the formulas that a lot of movies use, a lot of good movies use, where you're trapped in a desperate situation. It's like jump or burn, or jump or drown, jump or, whatever. And this is kind of the same thing. Kind of like
they
can't get out. They're going to suffocate.
Yep.
And
there's
they're preparing little Danny, who's in his feetsy pajamas, that I used to wear, as a matter of fact, by the way. It gets very dark. And Steve McQueen is looking at the girl. He's looking at the boy. And this might be his only chance, the only chance he sees of having a real family.
It was nice
knowing
them.
Yeah. Well, they didn't count on this particular problem, a giant blob from space engulfing the Downingtown diner. With a parking lot full of... because, land barges, I love that. I'm going to use that one, Doc.
Oh,
land barge.
Land barge. Ooh.
That is hysterical.
You know, this is one of the few monsters ever that you can't kill, period.
Yeah, exactly. You're right about that, Steve. Yeah, it was the first time. Being a monster fan, usually there's always a way to kill the monster, and this one can't die. Well, the Frankenstein monster couldn't die either, but, this is weird because you got to freeze him.
and only put them in a rest mode for a while.
Yeah,
until they
put them in a rest mode. Yeah, gives them a little bit of time to think about what he's done. And, until Godfrey Cambridge throws him out again in Beware the Blob.
Yeah. Mr. Blob, you've been naughty. Go chill out in the
just a tiny
while.
Crystal. I know a lot of us, everybody, like you said, everybody here is preparing to die.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, they kind of all gave up on him, didn't they?
Yep. I remember now, first time I watched this, I kept on asking my mom, are they going to make it? Are they going to make it? Are they going to make it? Just shush and watch the movie.
Yeah. Right.
It's unbelievable.
Even the punk dragsters are just solemn.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're all... Yeah. Well, when one thing we know about the blob, it likes the humid, the hot and humid weather. It likes the summer, I'm sure.
Yeah, when my mom was a teacher back in the 90s, we're talking about 6 years ago, she used to teach computer programming on Apple IIcs, and one of her students made a little program where you would type in a type of monster and it would give you its weaknesses and how to stop it. Like you'd type in Triffid, you'd come up with salt water. You'd come up with a blob, it would say cold. It was really cool.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was a high schooler.
Wow. Yeah.
And programming on Apple IIc was so rough. You had to do ones and zeros.
Wow, really?
Machine code, yep. Nowadays, you can use what's called a compiler and actually use English words, like Python and programs like
right.
that. But back in the day, it was machine code of ones and zeros.
Wow.
Everybody is rescued. Yay!
the end.
Anybody want a blob slushy? I do. Such a good movie.
I always loved that in the movies where they would just do something like that to set up the sequel. Just a question mark.
Yeah, Jack Harris would always do that.
And it's weird how the blob, Beware the Blob, actually was in perfect continuity with the first film.
Yeah. Yeah, he does the question mark in Beware the Blob, too. He does it in Equinox.
Yeah. Equinox or the Equinox.
Yeah. Well, guys, I gotta run. And it was great watching it with you guys.
Thank you, Joy, for coming. I'm so glad that
you guys were part of the tribute last night. I mentioned you both, and Carl. So thank you so much, Judy. It was a special thing we all did for Judy. Hopefully, you know, she'll be able to feel a lot better soon.
Okay.
Yeah. Have a good night, Joey.
All right. You too. Take care, Doc. Take care, Steve.
Okay.
Let's call it an
early night. Okay, Doc?
Yep, sounds good.
We hope you enjoyed it. And we don't know what the future is going to bring us, and not for reasons that people might know. But whatever will be, will be. And
you never know.
Good night, everybody. Say good night, Doc.
Good night, everybody.